Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, 1025, 1063. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry, live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios. It is the TD Power Hour. Teron Davenport is with us, fresh off of the practice field. TD is with us, as always, presented by CraneWorks and RentalWorks, your source for crane and equipment rental. Visit craneworks.com. TD, how are you today?
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Great day to be alive, man. It's beautiful outside. We get to interact with some players, watch some practice. Today was a good day so far.
TD, we've had now three full days to digest the ending of the Giants game, how that all went down, what it all means for the Titans. We now have had a week, basically, really a whole week, to digest the Bills' beatdown of the Rams to open the season. They are 9.5-point favorites on Monday Night Football in Buffalo, a stadium that is incredibly hard to win in. And I am worried that Titan fans, while they are always going to be optimistic because it's their team and because Mike Vrabel's the coach and they win games they shouldn't win, I do think they're really worried about this Buffalo game, or the Titans having a chance of competing with Buffalo. Now that you've watched the tape, now that you've broken down the notes, how do you feel about the Titans after week one, and how do you feel about them going into week two with the Bills?
Yeah, I don't think that they're worried. I don't think they get worried about any matchup. This one, though, is it's always interesting because you have a matchup of similar philosophies as far as the head coaches are concerned. Both of these teams are very physical. And when you look at the Bills, right, bringing in Roger Saffold, that was done in an effort to be able to run the ball more effectively. And they didn't run it as much against the Rams, but why should you when the passing game is humming like that? I think this is a good matchup for the Titans. Now, I'm not going to say that they're going to go out there and win, but this is a good matchup because what the Titans want to do is exactly what you need to do against this Buffalo team. You have to punch them in the face. You have to shorten the clock. You have to run the football effectively. And if you look at Derrick Henry's performances against the Bills, you know, over the last three games, he has 6 total touchdowns. Now, the last time he faced the Bills, obviously, was last year, and that 70-plus yard run that he had turned everything around. Are we going to get that this week from him? I don't know. We'll see. But I think just the continuous pounding, and this is a game where, frankly, I would get Hassan Haskins mixed in also and get him some carries because, again, you just want to keep pounding and pounding and pounding that team. Now, from the Bills side of things, it's almost like that team is built to go against Derrick Henry and this rushing attack because you look at the second level, right? Tremaine Edmonds is just as big as Derrick Henry. Right, Matt Milano is a very good chase and hit linebacker. But up front, they're stacked. You mentioned Daquan Jones earlier. You look at Gregory Rousseau. I was talking to Elena Getzenberg, the ESPN's NFL Nation Bills reporter, for talking with TD. And I told her that this Bills team, their front, is like I Am Legend. Right, they just keep coming and coming and coming. Remember how the Zombies, they just kept coming and coming and banging against the wall. And then finally one of them got through. And I think that's what you see with Epineza, with Boogie Basham, right? Von Miller now is factored in. Tim Settle, who they signed. Ed Oliver. Now, neither of those guys practiced today, so that could lead to something good for the Titans. But the point is, even with the secondary, the two safeties tackle well. Now, Tre'Davious White, when he's in, he's a pretty solid tackler at corner. These rookie corners, they haven't quite seen something like Derrick Henry yet. So if they could get Henry, you know, out into that alley and you know, against those corners, that could lead to a big play as well.
TD, what did you think of the Giants game? And when I say what did you think of it, I guess it's probably a two-part question. The first part is, what did you think about how it all went down and how it all shook out and the Titans walked away with a loss? But more importantly, what did you think about what you learned about the team that maybe you didn't know going into the game?
Well, one of the things that I learned, because I more or less figured, okay, Robert Woods, Austin Hooper, Treylon Burks, Kyle Phillips. I said, you know what, this combination, they're going to get something out of it. They'll get a big play out of one of those guys, probably Burks. Lo and behold, I think it was, yeah, their biggest play, 27 yards, was that play action bang route to Burks. I learned that if Derrick Henry doesn't have that home run carry, this team could be in really big trouble. And that's why I wrote what posted this morning about having the ability to balance out defenses, right? Because, and that's why I asked Ryan Tannehill, I asked Treylon Burks, and I love the answer I got from Treylon Burks. And that's why I asked Robert Woods about, hey, look, you know what? If teams stack the box, they're going one-on-one outside. Do you take that personally? And I love – Burks told me – he told me he said it twice that he takes it personally. And he said it means that they trust their guy to be better than me. I love the fact that he said that. That's a sign, and Chase just left the studio, so he's not going to be able to look at me and smile when I say it. But that's a sign of that dog in him. And that's something we've been trying to find in Treylon Burks. Does he have it? So I like that fact. But somebody has to be able to step up when teams focus on Derrick Henry. And in the past, obviously, you know, 11 was the guy that did that. And that's how they were 2-1 last year in games that Derrick Henry didn't rush for 100 yards or more.
What do you think about Tannehill's performance in terms of what it feels like over the years they've asked him to do?
I think the performance was good. He spread the football around. There was a throw, I want to say to Westbrook Ikhinne, where he kind of like squeezed it into a tight spot. He was on time with his throws, his reads. I think Tannehill had a solid performance. And then that throw to Kyle Phillips at the end.
Beautiful.
Man, that's what you want right there. You know, you have a $100 million quarterback. Those are the type of plays he has to make, and he did it.
What bothered me about the Tannehill performance on Sunday was that is exactly the kind of performance that I feel like if Ryan Tannehill had given them three times in the playoffs, they would have been playing last Thursday night.
Yeah.
You
got to put that aside, though. That's water under the bridge.
But I think about it more so as like what his peak is as a quarterback. I'm sure Tannehill can go out there, and I think he had a game against the Raiders a couple of years ago where he threw for like 380 yards. But for Tannehill, to me, it's, you know, 17 to 25 completions, no more than 30 passes, 250 yards, couple of touchdowns, no picks, no turnovers, no fumbles. And he did that on Sunday, and it still wasn't good enough to beat the Giants.
Yeah. I mean, long story short, they got the typical Tannehill performance in a win.
Yep.
But they lost to the Giants, and that's
right. They got
but
what they're paying
at the same time. At the same time, you know what? That was squandered because of the operation in the end. And Ian brought up a good point, right? You see Kyle Phillips on the injury report with the shoulder. Mm-hmm. There's a good chance that timeout may have been because he wasn't able to get right up and get back in to the huddle and get ready for the next play. That's a really good point. So you know that kind of brings different light to the whole situation, and especially when you're talking about a coach like Mike Vrabel, who is so buttoned up and all the I's dotted and T's crossed when it comes to these type of things, rule book and you know, working the clock and those type of things, it's that could be the case.
TD, are you concerned about the kicking game after the way they lost on Sunday?
What did I text you yesterday?
Cade York.
I always felt all along they should have drafted Cade York out of LSU. And this is a dude, he hit a 56-yarder at LSU, right? What did he do on Sunday? Game winner for who? 58 yards. That's 11 more than the miss that Bullock had. Now, I'm not putting a loss on Randy Bullock because you can't just put the loss on one play. But, man, that would make things a lot different if that wouldn't have gone wide left.
I think my big issue, though, is really – questioning the way that this team wants to play and the way they want to win, it's going to come down to a lot of kicks. And I trust Randy Bullock inside of 45. I think Randy Bullock's a fine kicker inside of 45. But it's going to be hard to win. You know, like if I were to imagine them winning on Monday night against the Bills, there's probably a pretty good chance they're going to have to kick to win that game the way that they're going to have to win it, play it, want it to win it. Mm-hmm. And so that makes me nervous. You know, I went through all of his makes and misses from that kind of distance. And really, he's had three kicks that he's made over 45 yards as a member of the Titans. One was to go up 6-0 against the Jets from 46. One was to go up 27-0 against the Chiefs from 51. You know, that's one where they can put him out there to see if he can hit it from 51. And then he did have a 46-yarder he made to tie the Colts in the fourth quarter at 24. But other than that, we've got misses against the Jets and the one last week and a big miss against the Texans last year. And so I get nervous about, I mean, most of these teams will ask their kicker to make from 52 to win a game, and I don't think the Titans can do that to Bullock. And I don't think that'd be fair to Bullock.
Yeah, I don't, man, forget it not being fair to look, it, you should be able to consistently hit, you know, 47 to 50, like with some type of fair consistency. So I get what you're saying, but I don't think it's a matter of being fair or not. You got to do what you're brought in to do. Now, I'm going to tell you the thing, if you're looking at that game, the real alarming part of it more than anything else, especially because what did I say that you have to do to this Bills team? You have to shorten the game, which means long drives. How do you get long drives? You convert on third down. 3 out of 11 third down opportunities were converted by this team against the Giants. That's 27.3%. Got to do better than that. As Mike Vrabel or Mike Singletary used to say, can't win with them. Can't do it. Won't do it. That's exactly what you have there. If you are not able to get better on third downs, that is something that will be a thorn in their side because, again, you need your offense to be a part of your defense in this game on Monday Night Football.
TD is with us for the TD Power Hour, 615-737-1025. Get your questions in for TD. We'll have them at the end of the hour, as we always do. But coming up next, the number one topic in town, TD, the offensive coordinator. And Vrabel had, a very interesting answer to a question not specifically about the coordinator, but pretty much about the coordinator. We'll get to that coming up next and what TD thought of Todd Downing's performance on Sunday as well. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
I guess the number of first down runs for Derek, I mean, a lot of people are saying too predictable. But on the other hand, is it only too predictable if you don't gain enough yardage, if they don't succeed?
That's pretty much your job and my job. That's what happens around, you know, the second guessing. I mean, we've had a lot of successful, you know, first down runs. We want to have a lot of successful first down runs and passes on Monday. And so, you know, that's the battle that everybody wages. You know, especially, you know, our focus is on Buffalo and going up there and making sure that we have a plan that whatever we do on first down, the players understand, that they believe in, and that they have an opportunity to execute it.
That was an answer from Vrabel today. I was, when he said that, TD, you were there. But when I was watching it and he said it, my eyes kind of went up like, whoa, when he was like, that's your job and my job. I interpreted it, TD's with us for the TD Power Hour presented by Craneworks and Rental Works. I interpreted that, TD, as it's your job to second guess because you're the media and you second guess. It's my job to second guess because I'm the one who grades the coordinator. What did you think about that?
It's right. I mean, he's correct. And here's the thing, you know, on first downs, you are able to set the tone for the series, right? So one of the things that the Titans like to do is run on first downs because that's, you know, pretty much their best bet to get ahead of the chains in certain cases, normal situations with Derrick Henry. Now, the way it is right now, I don't know if that's the best opportunity because we're still seeing this running game come into its own again. It's clearly, yeah, I mean, it is his job to second guess whether or not that's something that, you know, they should continue to do or whether or not they're too predictable. So I get what he's saying there.
TD, what did you think of Todd Downing's performance? He is the most talked about man in town right now.
Well, here's the problem. Todd Downing is in a no-win situation. And here's an example. The Dontrell Hilliard plays. The second one in particular, they did a good job of getting Hilliard matched up against the linebacker. Well-designed play where Nick Westbrook and Kenny was running a crossing route, and his route was designed to kind of get in that linebacker's way, which made it even harder for him to stick with Dontrell Hilliard on the wheel route, and that was one of their 7 explosive plays. That was schemed up. I did a video on it. I posted it. Everyone said, oh, well, that's Tim Kelly. So whenever something is good, oh, yeah, that's Tim Kelly. Whenever something is bad, Todd Downing needs to be fired. And I think, you know, that's the issue. And then people are putting this, you know, Robert Woods, two targets, Austin Hooper, one target, directly on Todd Downing's shoulders. And I don't know that that's something that you could do. We don't know how many plays were called with Todd Downing had Robert Woods as the primary. I know one of them, his first catch. I think the second target was one too. But how many times do you see that where the play call could be, hey, Robert Woods is the primary option on this play. Tannehill gets the ball, he looks that way, and it's not there. Is that Todd Downing not calling plays to get his playmakers the ball? Or is that the defense dictating that that first read is not going to be there? You tell me.
So.
No. You tell me, yes or no. Which one?
I would say this about Downing.
Okay, no. Answer the question.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I had stopped listening because I was thinking about the next question to ask.
Well, that's a bad job on your part. It's not on Todd Downing in that case. Now, are there times where, okay, you know what? He does need to make sure that guys get the football. Treylon Burks, you know, early in the game. Yes, and guess what he did? He got the ball to Treylon Burks when he ran that jet motion and released to the flat, and that was one of the times his first catch, and he got some yards after the catch.
So here's my thing, though, with Downing. Here are the two things that I think are legitimate. I think things that fans can gripe about. And I'm not even the Swaim thing. I'm not even griping about that. 17 of 21 runs for Derrick Henry on first down, 3 of 21 on second down, 1 of 21 on third down. Of his 21 runs, he had one on third down. You know, like, at some point, shouldn't they mix that up? The Titans
should mix it up.
The Titans had 9 drives. They had 10 total drives. One was in 2 minutes. We take that out. They had 9 drives. 8 of them started with a run, 7 of which were Derrick Henry. Dontrell Hilliard had one. We went back and we took a random Arthur Smith game against the Texans from 2019. And what was the difference yesterday? Like 5-4 or something
you're
like that?
You're taking it against a totally different team, a different defense. I mean, if you're going to do that, for heaven's sake, at least do it against a team that has a similar scheme. Like, this is okay. Yeah, okay. You took a random game from 2019 and you're going to compare. Like, that's silly.
Well, that's the only thing I can go off of. When people are saying, well, Arthur Smith did the same thing, then I'm telling you that Arthur Smith, we picked a game where we didn't know what the, you know, we didn't know if they
ran
it too much.
Did Arthur Smith coach in the game against the Ravens? Did he coach in the game against the Ravens?
Which one?
Did he coach in any?
Who? Arthur. Yes.
Okay, so why not look at that? Like, be better, man. Don't just pick a random game. And let me guess, was it one of the games where Derrick Henry had 200? Was it that one where he had 200 against?
No, because I threw that one aside because I knew that the Texans were playing all backups.
Okay, well, you did a little better than I thought, but still terrible. You should have do that same exercise and go back and do it against the Ravens, a team that was coached by – at least find some type of parallel. You know what I mean?
But well, you've got all the answers, TD, so you just tell us.
I don't have all the answers. I'm just telling you to do it better. That's
you think I'm doing bad at my job, TD?
In this case, you did. Because you just picked a random game. You pick a random game and say, oh, well, yeah. No, at least find some type of you got the game film, right? You got that now. And that's another thing that we could play a game, right? And we're not going to play a game because somebody might die of alcohol poisoning if they take a drink every time you say you watch the film. But what I'm saying is you have the game film. And that was a joke. You have the game film. Go back and watch some of the Ravens, if that's the case. Like, draw parallels.
All right, let's pull up the Ravens. Let's pull up the Ravens. Let's do that.
You mad?
Yes, I'm mad. I am legitimately mad. I thought what you said was disrespectful about me being better at my job.
Oh, it wasn't disrespectful for you to say you just stopped listening to what I was saying?
That wasn't TD, I'm trying to move the segment along.
Okay, well, move it along.
I'm trying to think of what to go to next. It's like a play caller trying to think of the next play to call. You got to think a step ahead. I will say this. I feel like the amount of work that I put into in this show, when you're telling me to be better, it hurts me to hear that because it makes me feel like you don't respect the work that I put in on this show.
That's a false assumption that you're making.
But that's
Let me ask you this question.
That's how it felt.
Let me ask you this question because you do this often. You say so-and-so should be fired, or so-and-so sucks, or so-and-so is not good at their job. What is the difference? Do you think they don't put a lot of time into that?
I think they all put a lot of time into
it. Okay, so what is the difference between me telling you in this one instance to be better? What is the difference from that to you telling them that they need to be fired? Or
because
that player X sucks?
Because when
No fun when the rabbit got the gun, huh?
When I'm saying what happens on the football field, that's not personal. When you're telling me that I need to be better on my show, that feels personal.
It's not
personal.
That's
how it felt to me.
It's not personal at all. You took it personally. Just the same as player X could take you telling him he sucks personally.
Like, TD, I like you a lot, and so I don't want to say something that would sound hurtful that would be, you know, personal or in any one way or another. But I do feel like me taking the Arthur Smith game and going through it and asking if it was too predictable or not predictable or whatever, I didn't think was that big of a deal for you to get that worked up about. And that's what
I didn't get worked out. You're the one worked out. I'm sitting here smiling.
615-737-1025, Stillman and Company. We'll pick it up on the other side, 1025-1063 the game.
You know, in terms of him getting outside of the pocket, he can use his legs, obviously. But having a guy like David Long Jr. with the speed he has to be able to get there and wrap him up, like how important is that going to be just when he does move out of the pocket?
Well, everybody, you know, as everybody's plays a role in that, it's a fine line between being able to rush him, but then also, you know, try to corral him at places where he can't hurt you. You know, he's got great pump fake, great stiff arm, you know, and then the ability and the arm talent to throw the ball wherever he wants it on the move. So, you know, we'll have to have a good plan. We'll start to, you know, work that today, which obviously is going to be a huge part of what we're doing. And then obviously just trying to make sure that the guys are ready and expect some of the stuff that he's going to try to do.
There you go. That was Vrabel talking about the Bills game. TD is with us, presented by Crane Works and Rental Works. TD, what do you think of the Titans' chances against the Bills on Monday?
It's going to be tough. I tell you that much. When you look at just a team like this that has a mixture of the ability to run when they want to and such a potent passing game, and you have one of the top quarterbacks in the league, that's tough to match up. And then to be as complete as they are on defense – that's the thing. I think really it's going to come down to those guys on the outside. Robert Woods going against his former team. Treylon Burks. I think, you know, the Teron Johnson against Kyle Phillips is another matchup this week that's going to be interesting. But those guys got to win outside. Westbrook and Kenny. Those guys got to win because they're going to load that box to stop the run. And they're going to come after the quarterback. So it's really important to win and win quickly so Tannehill could get the ball out and make sure that these guys get the ball in their hand and make plays with the yards after catch from Treylon Burks is imperative. Now, as far as reversing it, going against the Bills' offense, this is another one of those weeks where you have to kind of – you got to be very disciplined. And I talked to Jeffrey Simmons about this. You know, you don't change totally the way that you rush, but you really have to focus on constricting that pocket. And one of the things that they're able to do that with are the twists and stunts and things up front. I don't know that you want to blitz too much because you want to drop seven in coverage. Because Jamison Crowder, by the way, really good slot receiver. That guy could give someone problems. And obviously, you know what Stephon Diggs can do. You look on the outside, you got Gabriel Davis running vertical routes. Oh, yeah, Isaiah McKenzie has his own package of trick plays. And you got the Nashville guy, Dawson Knox. So there's a lot that has to be done. And I think if they could keep Josh Allen from extending plays and pushing it down the field, they have a chance. But if he gets out of that pocket and he can make things happen, it's going to be tough for them.
What do you make of the fact that the Titans have beaten Buffalo twice in a row? Because, I mean, everybody always says, like, oh, every year's different. Or I actually think that that hurts the Titans in this specific game. Because I feel like Buffalo is not going to rest on their laurels of the Rams game. And I think in both cases, one, they got embarrassed by the scoreboard. The other, they got embarrassed by the finish. I don't think they're going to take the Titans lightly on Monday.
Oh, no, they're definitely not going to take the Titans lightly on Monday. So another thing that you have to look at, this is a Bills team that everybody is picking to do this and do that. This is a Bills team that, you know, in front of the nation, they're going to look to put on the best show possible and make another statement like they did last week. So rest assured, they're not going to be taken lightly at all. I mean, that's a given.
What do you make of the fact that the Titans right now, they're in a spot where I feel like 0-2 is not the end of the world, but their schedule is brutal, and the fact that it only gets harder when they get into November. How bad would 0-2 be to start the season? How bad would it be for them as a whole to lose this game after having lost the Giant game?
You know, one thing that's going to depend on that is how the rest of the division does. Because here's how it is. End of the day, all you got to do, right, get in the dance. That's the main thing. Yeah, you want to host a game. You want to be able to do that. But get in the dance. That's the main thing. So, yeah, losing this game, it could hurt them. It could, but as long as they keep pace or ahead of the rest of the teams in the South, I think they'll be fine. But that being said, you only get 17 of them, so you never take any of them for granted.
What do you think about the negativity, though? So we were talking about doubting. And let's say that the Titans go out there and they have a poor game. Now, you and I both know this. Now, I will say this. I, last year, when the fans were going nuts on Downing, I didn't think it was totally his fault. There were guys that were hurt. You know, Julio was in and out of the lineup. They didn't have AJ constantly in there. Derrick Henry broke his foot. I didn't think all the criticism was totally fair. Mm-hmm. But I try to stay out of the offensive coordinator stuff because I really don't know. It's like even when I'm watching it, I see, for instance, the Giants ran a play where Austin Hooper tried to block the pass rusher, and the guy ended up hitting Tannehill, and Nicholas Petit-Ferrer didn't do anything. And I thought to myself, well, I don't know what they're asking Petit-Ferrer to do.
Right.
Like, if they slide the protection to the left and all of a sudden they're coming off the edge, like, I don't know, like, what they're asking, you know, him to do. So I don't know. But it does feel like the negativity and the angst picked up seriously on Downing. If they go to Buffalo, and Buffalo's got the number one defense in the NFL, or they did last year, you know, had the number one defense in the NFL and they've added Von Miller. If they do that, like, I feel like the Titans are in, like, serious trouble just from a standpoint of the negativity surrounding the team that's going to come if they get embarrassed on Monday, especially on offense.
I could reason with that. I could reason with that. And then, so, with that, what you have, right, this is a situation where you usually see a team that Mike Vrabel leads bounce back after a loss, right? And in these type of, hey, it's you against the world situations, this is when you see them elevate their game. So if they don't do that, then it's like, wait a minute, is this team losing their identity? So I could see what you're saying there. And you mentioned Von Miller, and before I came on, I heard you were talking about the sacks, right, that the team had. I tell you, some of it, you look at Von Miller's first sack, He dogged the left tackle, Joseph Noteboom. He kind of gave him like a move, like a hesitation move, and ran around him and sacked him. Jordan Phillips, spin move on the left guard. And then you look at the third sack, right? Epineza, a guy who's really coming into his own finally, a high pick on that defensive line. He bull rushed the center. Jordan Phillips stunned it to the right side. And they were able to get him. That was another sack. Greg Rousseau had an effort sack. It was a bad snap. That was one. And then Boogie Basham chased Stafford down. Von Miller, they tried to chip on him. He kind of worked through Tyler Higbee's block, ducked under the left tackle's block for a second sack. And then Epineza came off the edge. And on that final sack, if you go back and check that out, literally everybody up front won, including your boy Daquan Jones. All of them won. This offensive line is going to get tested and tested to the fullest, so they better be ready.
I will tell you this. I did watch the tape from the game against the Giants, and Brewer, I worry about him against the big boys. And it's not that I don't think he tries hard or has the ability to – he's just not very big. And at times, I felt like the size – of those DTs for the Giants, and those are top 15 picks that the Giants had out there.
Dexter Lawrence is big.
I mean, those are big boys, and I worry about, I think the Titans are going to go into this game. They're going to say, okay, we have to run the ball in order to win, and Buffalo's going to say, okay, we have to stop the run in order to win. And that's going to put a lot of pressure on that offensive line, and even though they didn't give up any sacks, against the Giants, who are missing their pass rushers, I did feel like Brewer really at times had a rough game. Now, I thought one of the Jerome Boger flags was ridiculous.
The play had already by him and everything.
But there were some where I felt like communication was a little bit of an issue with Lawan, and I also felt like Brewer just isn't big enough sometimes for some of these big guys. You brought up Daquan Jones. You know, Daquan used to have some speed to him. I'm not sure that's there anymore, but he's big, and they're big, and that worries me about the Titans trying to run the football.
And not only is Jordan Phillips a decent-sized guy, he's vicious. You know what I mean? So that's something it's going to be interesting. I mean, you're talking about 6'6", 324. Like, Jordan Phillips is no slouch. And the way I saw him hit that left guard with the spin move, it could get bad. It could definitely get bad. So, again, this goes back to – and Derek Mason had an excellent point on – I think it was Tuesday, where Mace has said he's seen really good receivers, but he's also seen receivers that are so-so. They catch 70 or 90 balls because of scheme. This week, you have to scheme stuff to get that ball out of Tannehill's hands quickly and into your playmaker's hands. And yards after catch, I can't preach how critical that is this week.
Do you think the Titans have enough playmakers? And I'm not talking about this game. I'm talking about in general, which is...
Honestly, no.
You know, like, when in doubt, like last year, the Buffalo game, when in doubt, they just threw the ball to AJ a bunch.
Yep.
And I go back to the Sunday game. Now, they ended up, you know, the two-point conversion. And that Giants defense wasn't very good. Now, they were well-coached. You know, Wink Martindale.
Very well-coached.
He's a good coach. But they're not very good. And so I just – it wasn't an accident that in the Eagles-Lions game, Jalen Hurts started 1-for-4, and then every throw went to A.J. Brown. And now, as far as beating a team like this who has those playmakers on defense, I'm worried about the Titans, not just this game not having those guys. I'm worried in general they might not have those guys. Maybe Burks. But
I think Burks can eventually become that guy. I do. But right now, and that's why I've been asking so many questions about the balanced attack and not having that, you know, if not having that top, legit bona fide number one, is that putting stress on the coaching staff? And we're getting, okay, well, we trust everybody in the room. Yeah, and that's all fine and dandy. You do need to trust everybody in the room. But there's a difference. You look at the 49ers game, right? Last year, how many times, or was it just like, hey, man, I only got one life to live. Chuck it up. A.J. Brown comes down with the ball, and it's a first down. He set a record for most catches on third downs in that game. That's what I think has to emerge for this team, because defense is just going to continue and continue and continue to work to stop Derrick Henry. Someone has to be able to say, hey, look, man, I'm going to make you pay for that.
We'll get to your questions for TD next. 615-737-1025. The TD Power Hour is presented by Crane Works and Rental Works. Stillman & Company, 1025-1063 The Game.
This 5 years in a row now you've played them. Is there almost a division-like familiarity with these guys?
Well, there's a familiarity. You know, got a lot of respect for Sean and the program that they have and the football team they have. It's going to be a huge challenge going on the road, and we're looking forward to it. We're excited.
There you go. That was Vrabel. Questions for TD. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What do we have?
Bo in Murfreesboro texts in and asks TD, do you still think that the Titans have a shot at the playoffs? I personally do not, but would be interested in both your guys' thoughts.
That's a hot take.
Yeah, that's definitely a fireball hot take for sure. Exactly. It's 1 week into the season. It's way too early to count anybody out. I definitely think they have an opportunity. You look, 2019, they went to the AFC Championship game, and we know how that game started. Those first six were just like, oof.
The only team I think you can rule out right now is Dallas, and that's because
– well, Dak, he may not be out for long. They say he could come back in four weeks.
So I saw the original diagnosis was 6 to 8, and then I saw Jerry came out and said 4. Now, look, Jerry's the gatekeeper of all the information, so at least Jerry's kind enough to give it to us. Man, that looked like a weird hand injury that if he had to immediately have surgery on, You know, and even then, they play so many good games early, and the Eagles play so many winnable games that maybe, but you're probably right. If it's only four, then Dak probably is fine.
But my question after that is, if it is only four, and Dak's back after 4 years, is he going to come back and be 100% Dak?
That's a good question.
Yeah, with that.
And I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, that's true.
Another texter texts in and asks TD, what does Tannehill have to do against the Bills to get a win?
Not turn the football over. I think if you could get a carbon copy of what you got against the Giants, I think you can win. And it's crazy because we opened up the segment saying, hey, you know, you got everything you normally get in a Titans win from Tannehill, and it wasn't enough for the Giants. I think it can be enough in this game, but it has to be supplemented by a Derrick Henry performance. Six touchdowns in the last three games against this team. That lets you know right there, you know, what he does against the Bills.
Last week we were talking about more work for Tannehill.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, you know, does losing A.J. Brown, is it going to be like the other guys are going to pick it up, or Tannehill and Henry are going to have to do more work? And I felt like last week might have been an example of, you know, 250 and no interceptions and two touchdowns was good enough when A.J. Brown was here. But maybe that might not be good enough, you know, without A.J. Brown here. Here's the thing that bothers me. And this isn't Tannehill's fault. He's going to be under a lot more pressure against the Bills than he was against the Giants.
Mm-hmm. An awful lot more. You got Von Miller and those guys are coming after them. So that's going to be a factor. And, you know, let me say this, too, because so for Whiteboard Wednesday this week, I drew up a way that the Bills like to use Diggs in the middle of the field, right, out of the slot. One of the things that they should look at, because the Titans do a lot of, you know, too high safety looks. They should show that to Josh Allen pre-snap and rotate, whether it's Hooker or Byard, rotate them down into that area where they like to get Diggs the ball. That could lead to an interception. And this is a week where, man, turnovers are paramount. And if you could get points on those turnovers, whereas the defense, you know, gets a TD, that would definitely help out. So that's another way that formula we said with Tannehill's results could actually, you know, be enough.
What's next?
Kenston checks in and says, could Lonnie Johnson be a Dane Cruikshank 2.0? I think he not only can, but will, because he's bigger, faster, more athletic, etc.
Kenston bringing the truth. Lonnie Johnson could absolutely be a Dane Cruikshank 2.0. Here's the thing. He has corner background, right? So it's very clear the man could cover. He has size, and that's what I don't know if you guys noticed, but he seems longer than what he's listed. Like if you stand,
I love
in front,
Lonnie.
Yeah, he's a solid player. So I think he can match up, and even against the run, right? Because that's one of the, Dane Cruikshank was good against the run. If you go back, and it's funny, I brought this up in conversation with Lonnie Johnson. If you go back, it was 2 years ago, right? End of the game, it was him and Derrick Henry 1-on-1. And it was like one of those ones where if he didn't make the tackle, it was going to be a touchdown. He brought Henry down 1-on-1 in open field. Give him
credit. My thing about Lonnie that I noticed in training camp when he showed up, he is one of the guys that has a nose for the football.
Yep, always around it. With that first practice, right? Who was it? Your boy from Auburn, his name slips my mind, the safety, he wore 36.
Oh, Shakur Brown.
Shakur Brown. No, not Shakur Brown. He was that not
Shaheem
him.
Shaheem Carter.
He tipped the ball. First practice out there.
First
he
play.
He tipped the ball. First, yeah. And Lonnie Johnson picked it off. So you're right. He is always around the football.
Austin texts in, do you think we will see Josh Gordon on Monday night?
Ooh.
Oh, no.
You don't think so?
No, I mean, I we might, but the idea that Josh Gordon's going to be Josh Gordon is something that we're going to have to.
Yeah, I don't know that we'll see the flash CGI. Josh Gordon that you know, the world has come to know, but you might see 19 out there.
Jerry is up next here. He's got a question for TD. Thank you for calling, Jerry. You're on with Teron Davenport. Go ahead.
Hey, TD, is there someone that they've overlooked or is out on the street that they could sign that would be a hidden surprise gem at the wide receiver position?
Ooh, I don't know that there's many out there right now. The name Kurt Merritt comes to mind. I don't know if he is – actually, I don't know if he's on a team or not. I don't know. I'll give you a name, though, if you want to name just somebody that's out there that I think could come in and help out. His name is D. Anderson, and he was originally at LSU, and he was that dude, but he just had a lot of issues. You know what I mean? And he got kicked off the team, ended up at Alabama A&M. The Titans were the only team at his workout. He was in the Saints camp, set to make the roster, but then they signed Jarvis Landry, and that just kind of killed everything for him. But he is someone, I think, if you're talking about, like, overlooked guys that could come in, that's one. He would be a good practice squad guy at the least.
I mean, what do they need? They have Cody Hollister that they're going to run out there for all those snaps. That
hey, May had a 22. He had one of the seven explosive plays.
I will say this, because the one thing that I'm convinced of is they put those guys out there because they wanted the Giants to think that they were running. And so when people get mad that Cody Hollister's in the game, I'm convinced that it was to make the Giants. And the same with Swaim. Like, when they would throw the ball when he was in the game, it was to basically try to tell the Giants, hey, we're running the ball.
Yeah, with their personnel. Yeah.
Yeah, like that. But I feel like Cody Hollister gets talked about a lot, and I don't know why, because I don't think he's bad.
Yeah, I mean.
He's not bad.
I think to D. Mace's point, you need to have Woods and Burks out there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A lot.
Yeah, I mean, they got
it. That's no slight on Hollister, you know, because, sure. Hey, look, his number was called. He made the play. You know, so that's no slight on him, but it's just I think your chances are better when you have packages. But again, like you said, it was trying to dictate to the other team, look, we're running the ball, and they worked play action, and it opened up. And
now, the one thing about the other side of it is Swaim. And it's not – like, Vrabel's not wrong that he's the best blocking tight end they have right now, but that is concerning.
Yeah. That is – I mean – you would like to see Hooper out there a little bit more. Okonkwo, you would like to see him get, you know, out there more. I mean, we might see a lot of Swaim this week. And
oh,
not running routes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, buckle up.
TD Power Hours presented by Craneworks and Rentalworks. I got something I want to say. TD, I want to apologize to you for earlier today on the program.
Oh, we're good, man.
I felt like maybe I overreacted, and I just didn't want – the thing that I was thinking about as we were doing this segment was the amount of respect that I have for TD and the fact that the work that TD puts in, the work that TD doesn't even get asked to do that he puts in, that I think people don't know about, that means a lot to me. And that's why I really respect TD. And that's why when Floyd left and we were doing the draft, there was nobody that I wanted to have that would kind of dictate, you know, okay, here are the targets, more so than TD, because I know the amount of work that he puts into it. And he doesn't do it because ESPN says, hey, TD, we want you to watch all this college tape, or TD, we want you to know this about all these other teams. He does it because he wants you all, the fans, to have the best coverage possible. And so I don't ever want, you know, whether it's a small little argument like we had that will probably be forgotten in 20 minutes, I don't ever want that, you know, for anybody, specifically TD himself, to think that I don't have the amount of respect
for
TD.
No,
and
definitely.
So between that and everything else, I consider TD a great reporter and a really good friend. So I just wanted to apologize, TD.
Oh, no, it's all good, man. It's all good. Listen, it's sports talk. Like, there's nothing to be taken personally there. So, you know, I'm straight. You know, I got plenty of love for you, plenty of respect. I text you as much as I text anybody else. You know what I mean? So it's all good. And when I say as much, I'm not going to say it that way. I text you more than I text pretty much everybody else. That's the right way to say it.
I appreciate you, TD. We'll talk next week.
All right.
Yep, TD joining us as always on the program. Okay, Tannehill. D. Mace had a Tannehill take that I think is the right take. Unfortunately, it also depresses me a little bit. I'll explain what that is next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.